This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown as we go live for our patrons on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with XL editions containing the news of the day, questions, and feedback. And throughout the month of January, you get a free month when you sign up for a full year. PostWrestlingCafe.com.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When Ryan's when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind to Rob with John Pollock and Waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind to Rob for Monday night, download a Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind to Rob for Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade take the mic.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Rewind to Raw for another week as we are deep into the Netflix era. Here we are. Hello, Way. How was your weekend and how are you doing tonight?
My weekend was good. Yeah. And tonight I'm doing good as well. Good all around. No complaints. I'm very happy to be here. How are
you?
Wow,
that's perfect. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm alive.
Be really tough to talk to you if you were not.
No. Yeah, no, I'm doing well, John. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I've read a lot of court filings today. A lot of court filings, so stick around for the news. It's going to be a fun one.
I mean, I look forward to it. Yeah.
Well, welcome, everybody. Welcome here on the Post Wrestling Cafe. If you are tuning in live as we go live each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, following Raw, following Dynamite, and following SmackDown, we are going to be getting into the show momentarily to discuss tonight's show from San Jose. But I do want to alert everybody that coming up this week at the Post Wrestling Cafe, we have quite a bit coming out over the next couple of days. We have got, of course, our new format here at Post Wrestling. So do join us on Wednesday night. And this weekend, we're going to be splitting duties. Way, you are going to be covering GCW, the people versus GCW, which now features Sabu, Baron Corbin, and Amazing Red, among others. So I think this is clearly, they are targeting you for you to swoop in and see what is up with GCW as they return to the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Josh Barnett versus Baron Corbin is exactly a match I would expect the GCW to make. So yes, I am looking forward to that.
Meanwhile, I will be watching TNA Genesis with John Cena, where it's going to feature Nick Nemeth against Joe Hendry. And somehow I feel everyone will be talking about Tessa Blanchard on that show as well, as she will be taking on Jordynne Grace. So that is going to be coming out. So the GCW show will be out Sunday night for cafe members. Cena and I are going to have our show up Monday around noon, okay? So we are going to stagger these out a little bit, but that is all coming up this week, along with your regular shows, including Collision Course. We will have Post Pro Res returning a little later on this week. And up today, free for everybody, it's the MMA Prediction Show. Myself and Ariel Helwani going nearly 2 hours talking about all of his predictions made a year ago, making some new ones this year, which already we played likely or unlikely. Would Bellator be dissolved? Would Bellator go away? And today, who else than Ariel breaking news that Bellator is gone? It is dissolved. So I feel that one he kind of had in his back pocket when he said likely. Hmm. So do catch the prediction show before they're outdated. It is up there, free for everyone now. Of course, cafe members, you got a sneak peek at the prediction show a couple days early, but that is up there now.
And a great conversation with Ariel about the starting of his new website on Crowned. So a big year of change for him, and that I always enjoy when you two just talk, whether it be about MMA or pro wrestling or just about each other.
Well, that seemed to be the consensus, just chat about anything. So it's a whole year in review.
Likely unlikely on life. Okay.
Oh, maybe I'll branch out further next year. Perhaps we won't even deal with MMA and pro wrestling. We'll just go above and beyond. Well, tonight, Wei, we are going to a place that you and I have watched professional wrestling at, the SAP Center in San Jose, California. Get this, week two on Netflix, 13,259 tickets out, according to WrestleTix.
Okay.
A lot of people going to watch.
Isn't that similar to like what Raw typically does these days?
I mean, it's not as many as they did last week, but I mean, 13,000, that's an incredible number regardless. Very, very healthy numbers. And I think like three of their next four shows have already hit 10,000 as well. Like they are, they're hot folks. They're very hot at the moment. As is their drone game, because man, this drone, man, it's going to run in and like, it's going to nail somebody one of these weeks. Like Lee Fitting is going to have his eye off the ball and this thing's going to run into, you know, someone in the 300 level, because this thing was going at a million miles an hour into the arena and surveying the landscape here. We had Snickers kind of presented as like the main sponsor on this show, and all the logos returning except for one, and it wasn't Real American Beer. Real American Beer was retained, but no Fortnite this week, Wei.
Fortnite was missing from the center, so they're I guess their main sponsor they didn't have a main sponsor this particular week.
It's not sticky. It's flexibility. We have open doors. It's an open door scenario, and you can just turn key and have your activation right there in the center of the ring to 282 million subscribers. It's really, it's sponsor first, but it's quality second.
Yes, makes sense. Do I send some complaints about the drone usage? Are we at the point where
I felt like I was on like a roller coaster
Are they overusing the drone?
Oh, they're absolutely overusing this stuff, but like these are their toys that they're going to use and people are going to get a big kick out of these. But yeah, they are going to ride this drone until it crashes and burns. Starting off the show is CM Punk, who just pulls up at the arena seconds to go, and wouldn't you know it just in time for his segment as his music plays. And he comes out, Michael Cole noting this is the home of the San Jose Sharks. Punk's a big hockey fan. Too bad the Blackhawks stink. So with that, out comes CM Punk. And quite the reaction.
Well,
for
do
Phil.
They?
The Blackhawks?
Yeah.
They're not great. They're not great. He's not telling a lie. Just seemed really forcing this in there. Punk, first of all, very, very classy moment here. He does mention the firefighters, the first responders tending to the fires from all over the place as they start off the show. There were several mentions for the American Red Cross throughout the episode as well. And he then goes on to the entertainment portion of the show, stating Seth Rollins no longer on his plate after last week, which was ran counter to what he said at the press conference that, no, I don't think I'm going to be done with Seth Rollins after just one match. But he goes over his triceps injury from last year, thought his career was fading away, but then referred to what he couldn't see and waves his hand in front of his face to make the John Cena reference. But then he made the biggest comeback ever. Until Kenny Omega did last weekend and said, I can see you, John. I always have. And he is joining Cena in this year's Royal Rumble. And then he calls for his music to play, but instead it is Seth Rollins that comes out. Punk can't believe that Rollins is back for more. And Rollins takes off his glasses, revealing a black eye from last week, and says, I said I would be here. Win, lose, or draw, standing in this ring. And if I didn't show up when times got tough, then I wouldn't be me. I'd be more like you, Punk. And Punk just snaps back, but I'd be the winner still. And Rollins says, I would rather be the worst version of myself than any version of you. Last week, the worst loss of my career. The only way I can seek redemption is taking your WrestleMania dreams away. So Rollins, too, is entering the Rumble. And Punk states, you're taking the easy way out, trying to just throw me over the top rope when you couldn't beat me. And then joining the party is Drew McIntyre, who comes out. Punk and him revisit their feud and the 15 staples Drew required. They're all arguing. Drew is targeting Rollins, and he teases going to the ring, but then it's all just for show. He says nope, and there is a bigger problem brewing because Roman Reigns is playing chess. All these other people are playing checkers. I need to be the reluctant hero to step up now that Roman's got his falafel back, and Drew as well. Entering the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
The falafel.
The falafel, yeah. We've had LA Knight call it
the Ufalafa.
Yeah, we've had the falafel. I don't know how culturally insensitive something.
It's probably very, very. Yeah.
But I mean, it's a wrestling item now as much as a championship belt, for instance. So I thought this was an overall good segment. You know, like, this show immediately felt different from last week's show in that this felt very much like your standard edition of Raw in all the best ways. Last week they were attempting something very special, and I think they strayed too far from what we've come to expect from these types of shows. And kicking things off with a great in-ring back and forth between these two, CM Punk and Seth Rollins, was like part of the reason why I think Raw has been so good lately. A great promo segment, for instance, at some point in the show, and this delivered that for us.
Very strong segment, and again, they're really building up, especially this men's rumble with all these big names that are now attached to it. You've got Reigns, Cena, Punk, Rollins, and Drew already.
Jey Uso and LA Knight, they said as well on commentary.
Oh, okay, they're in there too. Well, that's kind of, I guess Jay's already presumptively getting ahead of Saturday Night's main event and realizing I'll need to be in this rumble.
Well, you need to just, you know, increase your chances as much as you can. You got to pad out your chances of becoming champion. Yeah.
Our first match of the night, Chad Gable comes out. And again, me and Wei are watching the international version, so we're probably going to be mentioning segments that maybe you in the U.S. missed. It's because it's airing during the international versions. If I find them to be really just of no consequence, we might just skip over them, but there are. How did you find, first of all, just like watching this international version? Because I'll say they don't give you a whole lot of like breather room on the show. If you are like, you have no match interruptions, you have pretty much like the commercial breaks are shorter anyway from when they were on cable, but they're filling them up with like interviews and stuff.
How long are they from what you're sensing?
It feels like, I know on SmackDown, because we had the countdown. The countdown clock, and they were sometimes up to 4 minutes. But tonight, I mean, they couldn't have been more than 2.5 minutes is what they felt like to me. They felt very short, but I don't know the exact length of them or if they differ.
So I actually, as a reviewer, I hate them because it means I have I have less time to use to catch up. Like, typically when I watch like a WWE show, it's like, okay, I could like, you know, like get these 3 minute chunks, you know, just to kind of pad out my time. This makes it a whole lot harder when they actually have content for every single segment. But as if I was just watching this and not taking notes, I think I'd really enjoy it, John, because it's essentially you're kind of there live, and whatever they might do in arena to keep the audience's interest, to keep them up through these commercial breaks, they're showing you. And I imagine they're probably even doing more now in those segments. They're putting some real effort into like making this sort of exclusive content for these international audiences.
Well, it's a huge audience that is watching this globally. Like, these segments are going out to a lot of people, so you do have to put like.
So if last week's numbers are to be believed, what, 2.4 million people are international? Right.
2.4 million was the estimate of homes in the U.S.
Well, 4.9. Wasn't 4.9 the
4.9 was the homes worldwide. Yes.
OK, so worldwide. Half is international.
Yeah. Yeah. As you. Yeah. So that's a very, it was always going to be a very significant portion that you would have to cater these to. And we certainly got the sense tonight, like they are not, they do have this flexibility on the time. And I do feel there's going to be, not to say it was like a giant issue, but I think for their main events, I think it is going to add some intrigue to these main events that it's not going to be 20 to the hour or 25 to the hour. And you know, this is going to be a 25 minute match that if it's not clicking, you're kind of, you know, that this is going long. You don't know when it's going to end. And I think that is, and there's no reason a match needs to be stretched out to be 20 minutes if it doesn't call for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. We get into Chad Gable, who cuts a promo on the crowd. His bucket list this year includes winning a singles belt, and the lights go out, and wouldn't you know it, Penta makes his WWE debut that Michael Cole calls the worst-kept secret in the business from the company that like had already put out his merchandise today. So yeah. they were hardly trying to run away from this either. His family was obviously in the front row because they go to this girl who is just in tears crying, and... With all due respect to Penta, I could not have imagined that being just a common reaction from a random fan. But yeah, his whole family was there in the front row. He, you know, went up to them after the match. Michael Cole.
I was just going to talk about like the entrance itself. So, you know, they do the thing where they actually put the catchphrase in front of the song, which I think is so simple, but so smart. And I don't exactly know why. It wasn't something that AEW did, to be honest. Like, I remember the Lucha Bros song, but doing something like this is just so, like, you immediately communicate to the crowd what his catchphrase is. And if you didn't know it already, you certainly knew it within seconds of watching this.
Well, if you weren't familiar with Penta's history, Michael Cole took you through it, mentioning his accolades in Lucha Underground, AAA, winning the TNA Heavyweight Championship, and then he jumped to WWE.
And that was it? Yeah.
Yeah. He's
past 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from 2019 to today, he's been just on the sidelines waiting. But now he's competing at the top level here in WWE, and they were certainly not shy about getting in their major league comments here about Penta now making it here in the big leagues. So... great reaction.
None of this is unexpected. I mean, if anything, it puts a bigger spotlight on who they actually deem to be competition at the moment.
It very much does. Like, it very much does. There's a headstand by Penta into the seated dropkick, and then Penta's leg gets wrapped around the post after taking a German on the edge. So there's quite a bit of selling here from Penta, and Gable ends up missing a splash, and Penta's got to limp around, gets caught with a belly-to-belly into the corner. They trade chops, and Gable gets sent to the floor, and Penta hits a tope con hero, and this whole crowd starts chanting, holy shit. And I say this respectfully, but... you can do half of what you were doing prior, and you're going to get like double the reaction, at least in this instance here. Like, this was a holy shit moment. He hit a dive to the floor, and then he followed with a flying head scissors from the edge into the ring, Mexican Destroyer, which you don't see every day in a WWE setting. And then there's a dragon screw and ankle lock applied by Gable as he recovers, but it is countered, and his arm snap is now the sacrifice, where he snaps the arm and hits the Penta driver to win in 13 minutes and 25 seconds. Welcome to the big time! And Penta wins his first match after the call up to the majors.
Yeah. First of all, I wanted to correct myself. Apparently, he did have Cero Miedo at the beginning of his Lucha
Bros. I was
going to
say, I know there was a thing off the top, but...
thank you, people in the chat room. I probably just have to pay much closer attention to some of these theme songs.
You're just such a hater. Can't AEW do anything right in your mind way?
Onto the segment, I thought this was about as good of a debut as you could hope for somebody here. They treated this guy like such a big star, you know? He already feels like somebody that you should be paying attention to here. They chose a great city, first of all, San Jose, where the population is 30% Hispanic. So, I mean,
we're going to get into the post-match, because to me, like, very good match. But to me, it was the post-match that is the big thing, because they send Jackie Redmond into the ring to interview him, and he just takes the mic, and I don't know how much time he had, but he was certainly going to use this for all it was worth, because he cuts like a 3-minute promo here. 90% of it is in Spanish, and for all the talk we have about, and granted, this is a specific market, but one of the things about Penta is that this guy always sounds cool, and you don't have to understand what he's saying, but the second he spoke Spanish, this crowd went nuts, and it was such a huge reaction when he stopped speaking English. And to me, it was the promo afterwards, and you didn't need subtitles, and you didn't need a manager, but he sounded great. But more importantly, this audience took to him, and they were as much into this couple of minutes afterward as they were the match. And I was just so glad that they opted to do that as opposed to give him the win, gets the pop. And no one would have been complaining, but having that added to the end, I think, was the more important aspect of getting over to this WWE audience on the first night.
Agreed. Totally agreed. Well, first of all, they picked a great opponent for him in Chad Gable. You know, really, for a mid-carder that you are going to beat, you really can't find somebody better than Gable, who I think stylistically presents a great contrast to what Penta is able to offer, making his high-flying look really incredible. But this is also a segment where, like, you got to see Penta's cool moves, but you got to see other aspects of his game as well. You got to see, like, when he's not high-flying, like, what kind of a wrestler is he? You got to see him sell. You got to see him, like,
he did way more in this match than you seeing a lot of his matches, like a more like a lot of bump taking, a lot of selling. You saw quite a bit from him.
Yeah. And sometimes that might be counter to like what you might want out of a debuting wrestler. Sometimes you might just want a debuting wrestler to come out to look dominant. I think in this case, it's more important to see what this person can actually offer in ring, and giving us a well-rounded version of him, including showing us his fire and his ability to rile up a crowd, but most importantly, being able to see a promo afterwards is I think the best thing you could have done for him. And not only that, he knocked it out of the park. Like he was like, from my recollection, and it's fuzzy, but believe me, everybody, but like I believe he like spoke less of the two Lucha brothers. I remember Ray at least doing a lot more of the English speaking. Obviously, they had their manager as well. But Penta, I feel, rarely spoke English here. Who knew that he had this level of even English promo within him? You know, like it was certainly more than enough to convey the emotion that he was going to. And if that wasn't enough, allowing him to speak in his native tongue, even if I didn't understand what he was saying, I could feel the emotion. I could feel the passion. And you just look at the reaction to this crowd. You know, I'm so pumped up like by just this great appearance.
The one negative I had was like 3/4 of the way through this match, and just thinking to myself that I really blew it when it was known he was leaving AEW, that we didn't use the headline, Penta, gone.
Somebody did. Believe
Someone
me.
Did?
I'm pretty sure I even might have, like, in one of these banners.
And I'm not even, then I'm glad I didn't. I'm obviously not that clever. There we go. Very strong debut for Penta, and probably will be a very strong merch seller for them as well, as they already were getting everything out today online.
So they've been looking for this next Rey Mysterio for a very, very long time. You know, like they tried with like a Del Rio. They've tried with numerous other people that they brought in. Penta presents already, I think, the closest they have to potentially reach that level.
We'll see. We will see like where he can go. I mean, certainly the first night in, you knew it was going to be like a big reaction. They did a very effective job of promoting him, and we'll see where his trajectory is. But he's coming in with a lot of momentum, and this was about as great a reaction as you could ask for.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chalk Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chalk-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Then Judgment Day is in the back. We're continuing problems between Balor and Liv as Balor sarcastically states that Liv will once again be women's champion. Dominic apologizes to Liv. He's got roses for her right out of the Eddie playbook. And Liv says she's not mad about last week, but sends Dom to go get her and Raquel's bags and then just tosses the roses at Carlito. Balor is out for revenge on Priest tonight for him costing him and JD the tag titles. And JD is going to go to Adam Pearce. They want a rematch for the tag belts. And Balor also instructs Dominic to stay back here tonight and sort things out with Liv. So we would not see Dominic out there for the street fight. Then Kathy Kelly spoke with the Pure Fusion Collective this during the commercial break. And they are not... They do not feel bad about what they did to Kairi Sane, taking her out. They note the transfer window is open and Stark is coming for the winner of Dakota Kai and Lyra Valkyria tonight. And that was the extent of the Pure Fusion Collective tonight. Daniel Cormier was taking in the show, as was Bron Breakker. And Sheamus and Ludwig Kaiser is next. And Sheamus gets knocked out by the inflatable super titanium desk. Kaiser runs around the ring and just drop kicks this dude into the barricade. And we come back. Sheamus is hitting the 10 beats, white noise off the buckle. And then Kaiser grabs the shillelagh, turns around and gets drilled with a knee. And as Sheamus is signaling for the brogue kick, Kaiser cuts him off. But then after Kaiser misses with the kick, then Sheamus has the opening to hit the brogue and win in 8:48. And it's Sheamus getting into it with Bron Breakker on the floor. And we will get to their match coming up a little later on when that was announced.
Mm-hmm. Good match, I thought, as these two, you know, typically have. Not as hard hitting as I feel like, you know, what we typically get out of these Sheamus matches, but still very satisfying for a TV match, I would say.
When I saw these two get under 9 minutes, I could really tell they're not just going to be putting stuff out there and just overstaying their welcome on these Monday nights. Like, I think
on Fridays they will, but
Friday,
these
two would have gotten a 60-minute draw. But on Monday,
it does really spell the difference. I mean, maybe that was just a bad example of a Friday show, but man, Friday just felt like it was so lacking in just important matches or just star power. And this show felt like I thought struck a much better balance for all.
I think they're obviously going to have like their minimum. I don't think they're ever going to give you like 90 minutes, but I don't think they're going to be out there and just, well, we can go as long as we want. I think they very much are going to have the idea of leave them wanting more. SmackDown, they don't have that luxury. They have to go three every Friday night. And I'm hoping we get a much more improved show after Friday, which was a slog to go through.
I also sense like the stakes are a lot higher on Mondays in front of like a brand new audience and a new partner, you know, mm-hmm. that they really want to impress.
And this is where all the stars are being placed. Like you're going to get your Cody and you will have stars on SmackDown, but like it is very, very clear what is the priority show. And honestly, it should be right now.
They're still in the honeymoon phase where they're trying to be on their best behavior with the partner. Whereas on Fridays with USA, I mean, listen, like they're essentially married.
Will we ever see Bella Bajari and Ted Sarandos at another episode of Raw, though? I'm going to say no.
Maybe when they come to LA, maybe like this year, but after this year,
I think
probably
maybe you get one. They're not all coming. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
Kathy Kelly speaks with Seth Rollins, and Adam Pearce has made a match. It will be Rollins against Drew McIntyre in a WrestleMania rematch next Monday. Rollins walks by, and Zayn comes up to him, states, "I'm sorry about your loss to Punk last week, if you want to talk about it." Rollins says, "Yeah, it was a pretty tough week for me, but not a tough week for your boy, Roman Reigns, who won back the Ulafala, and you helped him. You helped him just like you did War Games. Are you going to also help him win the Royal Rumble? You're also going to help him win the title from Cody? Or are you going to help yourself and left something for Sami Zayn to think about and realize, you know what? It's time for me to wrestle The Miz. So he took a lot from this advice from Seth Rollins.
You got to start somewhere, right?
Well,
you
know? Yeah, that's it. More Miz on this show.
More on Miz later. But, you know, like, let's talk about Rollins a little here. You know, this is Rollins, I think, very much keeping his, I would almost say, like, at this point, tweener character, you know, where I think he's still very much a babyface, but because of his hatred of Roman being as high as it is, it's making him come across like a heel. This is exactly what Drew McIntyre was, at least, you know, for a good portion of time before he fully turned heel. I think Rollins still operates in that gray area where, like, outside of Roman, he could still be a decent guy. But because he hates Roman so much, he's even becoming an asshole to Sami Zayn, who here was trying to provide a peace offering. And Rollins just kind of threw it right back at him.
Do you think we're going to hear Rollins laugh on Netflix ever? Or is that gone?
Oh, maybe when he really turns heel.
Yeah. I hope it's gone for good. I hope that's the takeaway from this Punk program. Jackie is with Carlito and JD. You won't imagine, but this was on the international version. We didn't get this on the show. The only part about this that was funny was that neither of them could hear what Jackie was asking them, and they pretty much just had to guess what she was asking. JD called Jackie a spin doctor in the media trying to stir up drama with the Judgment Day. She asks Carlito what he thinks about all this. Like, I can't hear you, but I'm just going to say, just puts over Judgment Day. This was just comical.
The only reason why I feel like I would continue watching these is to hope for a Kalisto moment, you know, like a promo so bad that we'll all be talking about it afterwards.
Because you might have, like, maybe some of them will have their guard down, that they will be thrown out into this situation. It's not on the show proper, yeah. But not realizing enough people will see this, that this will end up on X. And
they're on live TV without a net, you know, and it feels like without a real script for a lot of these. So, yeah.
What was that, Jackie? I said Davey Portman called you the worst character of 2024. Your thoughts? Karrion Kross comes out of Adam Pearce's office telling The Miz, okay, after months of us going through this goddamn program, the Wyatt Six have been moved to SmackDown. We have had movement in this transfer window. So, yes, everyone, these five members all had contracts come up, and they were negotiating back and forth between both shows. If ever there was a group that really doesn't fit the dynamic of being collateral in a trade between brands, it's probably the Wyatt Six. But, my God, this final testament Wyatt Six program, I mean, maybe they'll all end up on SmackDown, which, boy, are they just pushing me away from ever watching wrestling on Fridays. Like, maybe they're just going to put all of the slop on Fridays.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see. That could be the punchline to all of this, you know, that they get moved to Fridays as well. I mean, let's say they don't move to Fridays, or let's say this is the end of this feud. I'm guessing it's an admission that it probably wasn't working as well as they had hoped. And I don't know
what's going to work for the Wyatt Six on Friday. Who are going to put them with that over there?
Hopefully, like a bigger fish, John, you know.
God,
like,
they're going to be in that tag division that makes no sense every week.
I guess so. But listen, like, they came in with a bang, but then, like, to just kind of, like, stay in this sort of mid-card purgatory with, like, Karrion Kross and The Miz isn't really a great sort of, like, you know, a way to just tell people that, hey, like, the Wyatt Six are actually an important group. We'll see. I think it's a chance to refresh in them.
So Zayn enters, and he was going to speak to Adam Pearce for what we don't know, and says that Miz then mocks him for never being a champion, and Miz pointing out that he was a champion. So Zayn decides, you know what, I'm going to go into his office, and I'm going to make a match with you tonight, because I'm very confident that they don't have this whole show booked yet. And wouldn't you know it, they had 5 minutes free. So Pierce a much better showrunner than Nick Aldis. We have learned.
Well, they announced way more for this show than they did on Friday.
Yeah, there were four matches announced in advance, and we got one impromptu match, whereas the entire third hour of SmackDown was booked on the fly Friday.
Yeah, yeah. So on the Sami Zayn thing, you know, they've been teasing it for, I would say, a long time now, but it seems like they might actually be ramping up like his aspirations towards the championship. So we can expect, you know, him to run the gamut, okay? It could be the Rumble, could certainly be the Chamber, but I am expecting him like something even maybe bigger than the Chamber for Toronto, don't you think?
I could see Zayn being a, like, if you have something really big planned, and this is all up in the air, like, we will see after this Goldberg angle is shot in a couple of weeks, like, if Gunther and Goldberg is Mania, that certainly doesn't need the championship, and you could do like Gunther and Zayn in Toronto, it's the rematch of Mania, and you either, it's Gunther getting that win back and again Zayn comes up short, or you could even go with Zayn. Like, that's certainly a match you can revisit after the win last year.
Yeah. See, though, Chamber almost feels like it's too soon for Sami, because, like, Sami is the type of character where after he wins, where do you really go? You know, he is like one of the best underdogs in the whole company. And I almost think like they'd want to take their time telling that chase.
Maybe Miz like beats Gunther and Miz will defend the title against Zayn at WrestleMania.
I think that's a several years WrestleMania program. We're not getting Rock and Cody, but we might get Miz versus Sami. Yeah.
They showed Obafemi in the crowd with the NXT title, and then Gunther comes out. Gunther states that last week's Netflix debut, great visual attraction, very impressive, but what I wasn't impressed with was the bell-to-bell quality. You are not alone, Gunther. He was on Cage Match After, given a 6.2. He wished that we had a roster that could reach those high expectations. And he points to his title, the only prize worth fighting for. And who should interrupt him but Jey Uso, who comes out and immediately challenges him for a title match. At Saturday night's main event, Gunther laughs at this challenge. I admire your courage, but I really want you to think about this. And he just systematically breaks down how awful of an idea this is for Jey Uso. I beat you twice when I was the Intercontinental Champion. Jey, I know what you are capable of, and it's a whole lot less than what I am. I will expose you, Jey, as a really, really talented tag team wrestler. To you, Main Event is a nickname. To me, it's a place I belong. So stick to your yeet and out of championship business. But if you insist, then I will accept. Gunther was amazing in this segment. He was so good.
I get the sense, whether it be Gunther himself or whoever's writing his promos, they're essentially basing him off of the average internet wrestling community shit poster, because all of his criticisms, are just like direct from like podcasts.
He's
like
Nick Bockwinkel if Nick Bockwinkel was on Reddit.
Oh, okay. Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, it's also why I think like the promos come across so well. It's because these are actual talking points that people are making. The audience is making about a Jey Uso. You know, Jey Uso's not what Raw was great on drones and great on presentation, but the wrestling was kind of like left something to be desired. Jey Uso has been very successful, but his singles matches has somewhat been lacking, and a lot of the criticism is because maybe he's just more of a tag team wrestler. So bring all of those things like to the forefront and introducing them in storyline just happens to make his promos sound that much more like cutting, you know?
All of these silly stats, let's be honest, nobody revealed the viewers per home, and we all know that Video Amp, it's slightly different than Nielsen's calculations.
Yes.
That's who this Someday. Man should be, okay?
Yeah.
So,
did you get
to just the end of the segment, as Gunther is leaving, Jey says, I respect you, Gunther. What you said was true. And I was scared to do this on my own, and I'm still trying to earn respect, and I'm going to earn your respect when I beat you for that championship. He's not going to beat him for that championship. But that is happening January 25th in San Antonio. And coming out of tonight, we have Gunther and Jey Uso and Bron Breakker versus Sheamus for the Intercontinental title. So they have three episodes left to build this up. I would say out of the gate, this certainly feels like a dialed down version compared to the Saturday night's main event of last month to me.
As I think we would expect, right? Like, first appearances are always going to be that much bigger, you know. This seems to... Well, unless
this is not the time
bigger.
For a Saturday night's main event, to me. I feel you put all your...
6 hours?
Well, I don't know if there's ever going to be a time for more hours of WWE, but you put all your eggs into this basket on Netflix. And every Monday, you need to be building up these first couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And you got to put on a satisfying 2 hours to draw on network television. It is a good window for like a last minute hype for the Rumble and such. But like, just remember, it will be 3 hours on Friday night leading into 2 on Saturday before coming back for your go home Netflix show on Monday. And then you're into the Rumble weekend. So this is 2 hours, and we'll see what makes this up. We had, what, 4 matches on the last show? So we'll get something else on this. But this feels like this is the Raw contribution to Saturday night's main event. And I would assume Friday they've got to finalize this card.
Yeah, it's a lot of content.
Which if you get, I'm thinking we could get like a Cody in a tag kind of thing, like Cody and someone against Owens and Drew potentially. Maybe you get Cody teaming with you would have said Jay, but obviously it won't be Jay. But anyway, you could get Zane in there potentially or something.
Mm-hmm. I thought Jay sounded really good in this segment. You know, as I think maybe as scathing as like Gunther's words were, I think it really did help set Jay up for, I think, one of the more emotional and passionate and believable speeches I've heard from Jey Uso in this time. He's more than the guy who does the arm waving. He was able to dig into, I think, some real emotion here.
Great video for Lyra Valkyria and Dakota Kai setting up the women's Intercontinental title tournament. They focused on Lyra coming up short in the Queen of the Ring to Nia Jax. Kai coming back from injury, but she doesn't want to talk about the past because she has what it takes. She's never been more confident than she is right now. And then because they were in San Jose, Bayley was in the crowd. So they interviewed her during the break. And she talked about Penta's debut, promoted her match with Stratton on Friday, and previewed Kai versus Lyra, and then led a chant of Michael Cole sucks. Lyra Valkyria, Dakota Kai finals of the Women's Intercontinental title tournament. They did mention that we did have one female Intercontinental champion in China in 1999.
Can't say first women's.
They can't say first champion? Women's Intercontinental champion because there is technically.
But you can say the first holder of the Women's Intercontinental Championship.
I'm sure they will have that qualifier every single time they reference Lyra Valkyria from this point forward. I thought Lyra Valkyria, first of all, in particular, I thought Lyra really shined in this match. She just really stood out to me in this match. But Kai catches her and drops her like front first onto the apron from the floor, and they go onto the edge, and Lyra hits this vertical suplex off the apron and just crashes onto the floor. So we continue on the international version. Lyra catches the scorpion kick, but Kai still manages to boot her multiple times, and we get the chiropractor for a two count. The GTK gets caught, so Kai then executes a Liger Bomb for a two count. Lyra comes back, hits a leg slicer off the top. The scorpion kick lands on Lyra, stomps the neck, and then goes for the GTK, which connects, but Lyra rolls to the floor, and the crowd can't believe it. Dakota Kai screams in frustration, and Kai misses the running boot after pulling her back in, and Lyra catches her with a sling blade out of the corner into the Nightwing, and Lyra wins in 8 minutes and 31 seconds as Adam Pearce presents her with the belt. And I will say this way, for what you felt was needed to establish one of these secondary titles with somebody that can be that kind of solidifier of the title, that felt to me like Lyra Valkyria is someone that they can put this title on to really give it some credibility off the bat. But also, I mean, this is something big, like the most significant thing Lyra has had since being called up.
Yeah, very much so. I thought it was an excellent match, you know, and it's rare, I think, like when they announced this, that this was the finals, I was a little bit surprised because in terms of star power, I thought this was a pretty lacking pairing. You know, like Dakota has had some, you know, decent airtime, but Lyra has almost been like missing, at least in terms of, you know, being a relevant character since
that Queen of the Ring, which was last summer.
So a little bit surprised that they would do this, and I almost wondered like how well it would get over with the crowd, but this crowd loved it, obviously because there were stakes attached, but also because these two delivered a really, really good wrestling match. Yeah. You know, might have been Kai's best singles match I've seen of hers on the main roster. I think she's been very underrated since she's come back from her injury. She's done really well. And Valkyria, I think, has always been excellent. You mentioned the U.S. title that Chelsea Green is holding. I almost see this as like an opposite direction of what they're doing with Chelsea Green, in that Chelsea is very high on personality, but pretty low on in-ring credibility. Like, she can wrestle, but she's not booked to be a great wrestler. She's not even booked to be a threatening wrestler by a heel who cheats, for instance. Lyra is sort of the opposite. Like, she's great in ring, but I would say at this point, very little connection with the crowd as a personality. Ideally, you have somebody who's capable of both. And as champion, like as a top champion, you kind of need to have both. Hopefully, these title runs will kind of like fill in those voids for the others. Hopefully, you know, like I want Chelsea. Like, I'm happy with Chelsea with champion, but I want her to show a bit more of an ability to look threatening and credible as an in-ring performer. Even if she's going to cheat, I don't really like the comedic type of cheating. I want her to cheat and hurt somebody. You know what I mean? And I hope this spotlight can help Lyra find, you know, like a part of her personality that might be able to connect with the crowd.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, as myself and Wei Ting will be providing full shows containing news of the day, questions, and so much more going live on those nights for patrons. Plus, we will have coverage of Wrestle Kingdom 19, Wrestle Dynasty, The People vs. GCW, TNA Genesis, a Rewind Away retrospective on the Ric Flair Ricky Steamboat feud of 1989, all of your regular shows, a Daredevil primer, and throughout the month of January, you get a free month if you sign up for an annual subscription. $6 a month at postwrestlingcafe.com. Kathy Kelly spoke with the New Day during the break and are asking them when they will be back in the ring, and they complain about being ignored week after week by Kelly. They're the greatest team ever, but they've been forced out of the locker room by locker room leader Ray. They will be in action next week, and then when Kelly has another question, Wood says, sorry, we're out of time. The Miz and Sami Zayn, shortest match on the show. Miz gets caught with an exploder, and then the Helluva is cut off. Miz hits the DDT, and then Miz blocks a blue thunderbomb. Skull-crushing finale is countered. And then Miz goes into the corner and gets caught with the Helluva and the blue thunderbomb, as Michael Cole calls, folks, Sami Zayn has just got a win with the blue thunderbomb. I mean, Christ, that never happens. So Sami Zayn gets the win with the blue thunderbomb. His alternative finisher.
Yeah, his secondary finisher, I guess, which I mean, it's not even a finisher. It's more of a signature move, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. It seems like a match just put in place to maybe pad out Zayn's record so that we can potentially get ready for some sort of title campaign of his.
The record's reset at the beginning of the year, so he gets the win. Video package for Logan Paul. He wants to be the face of Raw. And then Rhea Ripley comes out and... So she comes out, and before she can even get going, Nia Jax interrupts, and transfer window, she's allowed to show up on this show. And she was here just to get booed, and she did. Like, she got, like, the Dominic heat here and states she will be winning the Royal Rumble. So as of now, I think we have one woman in the Royal Rumble.
Nia Jax.
I think that's it. And she will take whatever she wants. She addresses Bayley in the crowd, insulting San Jose, and she's the top woman in this division. As Bayley then hops the barricade, asks Rhea for permission to enter the ring, and then Jax proceeds to shove both down, and then they fight off Nia, and they're left together. And in the oh-so-subtle WWE way, Bayley is just eyeing this championship as Rhea holds it up. And if it wasn't for, like, the... Well, obviously involving Bayley here in San Jose. If it wasn't, though, for the looking at the belt, it was like, this just felt like a dark segment that ended up on television. But I think there was a purpose for this by the end to indicate something. And Bayley, they have continually been hinting at moving to Raw. So I could see that happening.
Yeah, yeah, it could be that. Certainly the Rumble. I mean, everybody, you know, should be having a moment like this looking at the championship. It could just be as much as that. But this figured it into a way to give the hometown person a spot on the show.
Yes. It was odd. She's eyeing this belt, and she's got a title match on Friday, though.
She, you know, again, you want to just hedge your bets.
You want to keep all your options open this time of year. Mm-hmm. Next week on Monday in Dallas, they have Seth Rollins against Drew, New Day in action, and JBL will appear.
Maybe he'll enter the Rumble.
Quite the lineup. We have one match. One match where we know the opponents. New Day will be in action. And JBL, this is...
Will JBL be talking about GCW at Hammerstein, maybe?
Oh, that's a great question. Coming up, I bet he enters the Rumble, probably. Like, what other purpose is there for him to be on Raw next week? Maybe he'll tell us what he's been whispering into Nick Nemeth's ear for the last year.
I don't know if he enters the Rumble. Like he'd be more of a surprise, don't you think? Maybe he'll be there to sell us some beer.
Maybe he's going to promote that new that Jim Londis book he wrote the foreword for.
Yes, on Netflix.
I'm in the middle of. This is excellent book, by the way, by Stephen Johnson. I recommend. Jackie speaks with Ray during the break. It's like, hey, you're a luchador. Penta's a luchador. What'd you think? He's like, well, I've known Penta for a long time. I always thought his true home was here in WWE.
Yeah, I'm very happy, I guess, that Penta got this. Boy, like, would I hate to be in the same room with Ray Phoenix as this debut was going on, because I'm sure he was just... probably got a tweet ready, you know, that he's being told to delete at the moment.
Probably just send it. Keep it in your notes app. You know what? That's what WhatsApp is for. Send that to your friends. Don't tweet it. Mm. Damian Priest and Finn Balor is the street fight main event. Priest is awaiting in the ring as he's waiting with his kendo stick, but he gets blindsided by Balor, who comes from behind with his kendo stick and the super impressive titanium desk Balor's thrown over top of, and Priest brings out a table, and then they fight into the crowd. We get trash can shots to the head of Balor, and they make their way to a balcony where Priest launches Balor with a broken arrow over the balcony through these tables full of equipment, and Balor is dead. So the EMTs come out to place him on a stretcher, and there's this long delay as Priest waits in the ring. Judgment Day is out, but then Priest... he gets bored, so he decides to just go and attack everybody and rolls Balor into the ring as the match continues. And from there, we had the South of Heaven that was prevented with a backstabber by Carlito as Carlito and JD attack. Can you just finish this this quick recap, Way? I'll be right back. Sorry.
Oh, okay. So Carlito and JD attack, and basically they... hold Priest down until, of course, the War Raiders show up, and they come out with their biker outfits and they just look badass. Ivar comes in, does his cartwheel, spin kicks. They deliver the War Machine to JD McDonagh and just lay these two goose out of here. An excellent spot for the War Raiders.
The War Raiders were...
I came in there like a War Raider, just to kind of clear the ring for
you. And then everyone disappeared afterwards. Yeah. So we're left with Balor and Priest. And Balor puts a chair around Priest's neck, and he goes for the shotgun blast, but Priest rises, hits the South of Heaven, Balor kicks out. We get two tables on the floor, coup de grace puts Priest through one, but then Priest comes back after tackling him through the timekeeper's table, razor's edge through the table, and pulls Balor into the ring, and he sets up for South of Heaven, but not without a story-ending dialogue. Always my favorite way. This might be an award we end the year off.
This was his "I'm sorry, I love you."
Yes, yes. This happened to me once, so I was on the receiving end of this. "I am not my brother's keeper." And Finn was probably like, "Oh, okay. I guess I'm screwed." And he hit the South of Heaven. 1, 2, 3. Damian Priest wins.
Oh,
before finishing maneuvers.
Moves are way more devastating if you can add a catchphrase ahead of them.
Is that going to be his catchphrase? I hope he uses it a lot more.
"I'm not my brother's keeper." Maybe. Yeah. The biggest shock to me about this match was seeing the graphic to close the show. I was like, what the fuck? There's like still 20 minutes left before 11 o'clock. They're ending the show right now. This is amazing. Anyway, match itself was excellent. It was very, very good. You know, this was they put like a lot of their Bronson Reed, Braun Strowman type of like stunts into this match. You had the broken arrow off the balcony through the table. They threw in two table spots. They threw in the barricade spot. It was just this sort of constant varied activity that made this match feel very much like an anything goes like atmosphere. Very visually captivating stunts, and they crafted, I think, a great moment for the War Raiders, who are still very much in a phase where they need to be developed, where they need to gain favor from the audience that still largely, at least to me, thinks of them as like the karaoke singing chicken eating team. But this made them look very cool. I love the continuation of the Damian Priest tandem here. I have to think, as John tries to reconnect, I have to think that this was some sort of big emotional moment for these two closing it, because after this pin here with Damian Priest and Balor, you could see Priest lower his head to Balor to whisper, as, you know, wrestlers often do. But they called this, Cole called this, as if this was the very end of this feud. And knowing what these two people had to go through, have gone through over the years together, I imagine this was like a pretty big emotional moment for the two of them. I'm sure a lot of nice gratitude was sent over to Finn Balor's way. But yeah, I thought an excellent street fight, very entertaining, and what a way to swing the tide back to, I think, positivity in terms of my own interest in the WWE this past week after two, like a very visually and financially impressive show on Monday, a very disappointing show on Friday, but now I think a very good edition of Raw on Monday.
I thought this was a really enjoyable show of Raw. I was not as down on last Monday's show that I think many were. It was what I expected. One of these big promoted LA based shows for WWE to be like. I likened it last week. Like, it was the WWE upfronts, but it was on television or on Netflix. That's what it was. But this week, I think, certainly felt more like in line with what you can expect on more of a weekly basis. You know, you got a big blow off to a feud in Balor and Priest. You got the crowning of the Intercontinental Champion. Match quality, I think, was largely very good on the show. The Penta debut came off very well. You got the big star-studded segment to kick off the show with Punk, Drew, and Rollins. And you got some stuff set up for Saturday's main event, which I can't say feels like a really big event 2 weeks out from, but you know, you have a lot of balls in the air that they are juggling at the moment. And Saturday night's main event, we will see how well they build this up over the next three episodes.
To me, this felt like a show that I could see a new viewer watching and wanting to tune in again for next week. It just, even though it didn't have the star power, it didn't have like as much that was built up to before you kind of gave them that resolution, I thought it was a much better viewing experience for certainly a beginner, but even for somebody who's, you know, a seasoned viewer. 2 hours, 40 minutes. I started this thing at like 9 o'clock and I managed to catch up right by the end. And like to be able to at least like deliver like 2 hours and 40 minutes of like solid content, good wrestling, big stunts, big debuts, good promos. I think that's ideally what you'd have for one of these.
All right. We are going to be continuing the show on the Post Wrestling Cafe to all of you joining us on the Post Wrestling free feed or on the YouTube channel. We thank you very much. News of the day, feedback, all of that can be found at postwrestlingcafe.com. And we will be back on Wednesday night following Dynamite. This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown as we go live for our patrons on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with XL editions containing the news of the day, questions, and feedback. And throughout the month of January, you get a free month when you sign up for a full year. postwrestlingcafe.com.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.